welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of horror. Later on, the Hall of Fantasy, its first broadcast from the series. But first, it's Lights Out, a CBS episode first heard on January 5th, 1943, called The Fast One, or Speed.
But my dear Mr. Finn, $5,000.
$5,000. $5,000. What do you think you're doing, bidding at an auction sale?
I am bidding for your services. And if a $5,000 retainer isn't enough, why, name your own price. I'm not here as an individual. I'm the representative of a group of casualty insurance companies who handle practically all of the burglary insurance in this entire area.
Not if you're that important, talk important money. $10,000 cash.
Very well, I'll write you a check.
Fenn Detective Agency. F-E-N-N.
Yes.
$500,000 stolen in broad daylight and no witnesses. A very clever criminal, whoever he is.
But surely you don't believe only one man has committed all these crimes.
Whenever there is greatness, even in crime, the answer is a man. One man.
25 places robbed both sides of State Street. 25 stores robbed in the space of 30 minutes, and you talk of one man?
He's very clever.
No one man could rob 25 places, spreading over a distance of 3 blocks in the space of 30 minutes.
No?
Of course not. Banks and department stores and loan companies. Cash registers cleaned out. And not a clue, not a witness. The devil alone knows what this is all about.
The devil alone.
City morgue. Oh, hello, Chief. Yeah, he's been here 2 days in a row. Yeah, all he looks at is the bodies of the hit and run.
Hey, listen, Chief. Here he comes now. Yeah. Okay, I'll try to find out. Yeah.
Hiya, Mr. Finn. Early today, ain't you?
Quickly, show me the new ones.
Yeah, sure. Why not? The same kind?
Yes.
Okay. This one's name is... it's on the tag here, Morrison something. Relatives ain't claimed him yet. Look at him. Smashed up pretty, ain't he?
He never knew what struck him.
I'll say he didn't. The way that skull... well, I bet you he went out just like that.
Well, I'm no longer interested in this one. Where's the next?
Coming up. Wait till I put this fella back on ice. Yeah, let me see. Where'd I put the dame? Oh, yeah, here she is. Shit. Whoever the rat was with his hair must have bust the front end of his crate. Look at her. Ain't much of her left to tell who she was, is there? Only identification on her was her first name in a book. Let me see, Libby. Yeah, that's what it was, Libby. Gosh, if this was my girlfriend and any hit-and-run rat did this, I'd find him even if I... Hey, Mr. Finn, what's the matter? What are you laughing about? It ain't funny. The girl's face, it smashed her. What are you laughing about?
I know. Now I know.
Paper, mister? Which one is decent?
No, I don't want a paper. I want to talk to you. Here.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Sanchez. What you want to know?
There was a little accident on this corner yesterday, wasn't there?
Yeah, sure. Some dame got her head almost cut off by one of them hit-and-run guys. See, you should have seen it made me so sick I couldn't...
Yes, but that doesn't concern me. What I want to know is... did you see the accident?
You mean the car was done it?
Yes.
Well, no, not what you could really say. You've seen it, no.
Speak up, speak up.
Well, don't you so. I'm telling you, I was just closing up my stand, ready to go home, seeing I have my back kind of to the street. See, all at once I hears a whoosh and a dame screams and then a whoosh again like one of them there race cars at the speedway like she sees in the news wheels. When I turns around, there's a dame dying out there. And honest, mister, the hat's out of sight ready. Oh, ready. I don't see nothing, no, sir.
You don't see nothing.
No, sir. Why, that guy must have been going 100 miles an hour. He ain't even got lights on, no, sir.
You. Hey, you. Hold on there. I want to talk to you.
Are you talking to me, copper?
Oh, wise guy, huh? Listen, you, what's the idea of cross-examining everybody in this neighborhood?
Now, just a minute before you start using that nightstick, you better have a look at this.
Why... Oh, you're a private detective.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, no. How was I supposed to know that...
Well, you know it now. Tell me this. What do you know about the hit-and-run cases in this district?
Oh, that's bad, sir. But what can I do? Drunken rats driving without lights and giving no warning. We'll get them tonight, sir. Believe me, we will.
What do you mean?
There's going to be 10 squad cars touring this district.
Just a moment. One question. Have you been hearing any peculiar noises on your beat? Noises like an airplane motor when there wasn't anything in the sky?
Go on now. You're kidding me. Say, look at the time. I better get moving on me beat or the sergeant will be shooting his mouth off. Anything else I can tell you?
Yes. This restaurant we're in front of. Is it a good place to eat?
Yeah. Bill Lewis's place is okay. He's off in Washington, but his wife's running it. Nothing like the Ritz, but it's okay. Well, I'll be seeing you.
You're mistaken.
What'll you have, sir? Nice dinner?
Coffee.
Piece of nice fresh pie. Apple, peach, cherry.
Apple.
Yes, sir, right away.
I beg your pardon.
Where did you come from?
I followed you in. I wish to speak with you.
I don't want to buy anything.
I am not selling. Just like you, I am asking questions.
Eh?
I have been watching you. All afternoon, you have been asking many questions.
What's that to you?
I am a Bellini, Dr. Bellini. I live in this neighborhood. I am interested in whatever goes on in it.
Ah, glad to meet you, Doctor. Maybe you can tell me. Have you heard any unusual noises during the late afternoon and evening hours? A noise you couldn't quite locate or explain?
Noises? What noises? You are a detective.
Why do you ask that?
As a physician, I pride myself on my powers of observation. You are a detective, eh, my friend?
Yes.
Then come with me. Do not raise your voice now. This gun in my pocket will kill you. Walk slowly toward the door. Make no noise. Now, open the door and step outside. I advise discretion. I will be close behind you. Now, walk beside me down the street. Gun in your side and you laugh. Why do you laugh? Tell me.
I've been looking for you, Dr. Bellini.
Yeah? Why?
I must know your secret. I must.
Very well. But there is a price to pay.
Price? What is your price?
Death.
We leave our The Devil and Mr. O story of speed for a short message.
So, now we will not be disturbed, Mr.
Fenn. Mark Fenn.
Mark Fenn. The man who is willing to die to learn my secret.
I'll take my chances. Just tell me, how did you do it?
But first, I will ask you questions. You are either a very clever man, Mr. Fenn, or a very lucky one. How did you suspect it was only one man?
I knew. It had to be one man.
But how did you correlate the missing money and the dead in the street?
30 minutes to collect $500,000 and cover 25 stores. I knew you'd have to move fast. I figured someone would get hurt.
You are very clever.
You did do it, didn't you?
Come, I will show you. You will be the first to know. And the last. Here. Sit here.
Yes, yes.
Now, what do you see in my hand, Mark Fenn?
I A bottle. It's full of oil.
Not oil, you blind fool. Power. The key to the world. Listen to me, Mark Fenn. One drop of this in the world is mine. You believe, Mark Fenn? You believe what I tell you?
But what does that stuff do? You've got to tell me.
Speed. That's what it gives. Speed. Faster, faster, faster. Every atom in me faster. You do believe, Mark Fenn. You've got to believe.
But what? I don't understand it. What does that stuff do to you?
Oh, you fool. Why don't you listen?
But
speed. That's what it gives me. Speed. Every physical process, every mental activity, it speeds them up 10, 20 times the normal rate. Faster, faster. Every molecule. Listen. The average man walks 3 miles an hour. One drop of this, and I walk 60 miles an hour. Now you know my secret. A chemical which speeds up my activities until I am a god among men. A drop of this, one drop, and I walk and I run and I talk and I think 20 times faster than any other man in the world.
Oh, no, that can't be.
No? Then watch. I drink.
Doctor Bellini. Where are you, Doctor? Where are you? Bellini.
I've never seen you.
Bellini, what are you talking about? What are you saying? I don't understand. Stop it. Stop it, I say. Stop it. Bellini. You went away. Where? What happened to you? Why do you talk like that?
I told you all physical, mental processes speed up. Wait a second. Chemical effect will wear off completely.
That stuff, it makes you talk fast, is that it?
There. The effect is worn off. I'm back to normal rate again.
Where did you go? Where?
To prove to you that what I say is true. Look what I have in my hand.
Diamonds. A diamond necklace. Where did you...
From the window of that jewelry store 3 blocks away.
You were there and back in these few seconds?
20 times faster than any man can run, I ran in those few seconds. 20 times faster than any man can think, I fought in those few seconds. Now, do you believe, Mark?
It was you moving at 100 miles an hour that knocked down those people and killed them. It was you moving so fast, they were not hurt. They were hurt, but not you.
Yes, it was I.
It was you moving so fast they couldn't see you who took that $500,000 in cash from those stores.
Yes, I.
Me too.
You?
Yes, me. All my life I've wanted, Bellini. The power you've got now, Bellini, I want it too.
But why? Why should I share it with you?
Because I can help you. Yes, that's it. I can help you. There's so much to do. You can rule the world, but you cannot conquer it alone. You'll need help, and I'll need help. You hear me, Bellini? I'll help you. I'll do anything you say, but you must let me join you. With the dream of all my life coming true. Power like God. Let me join you, Bellini. Let me.
Yes, I need a man like you. Together we will help the world.
Which is sweeping our city is due entirely to the unholy alliance of crime and politics. Sweep the culprits out of office, and I tell you that our peace will be
doing everything I can do. I've sworn in 1,000 extra deputies. I've got the force for the purpose.
And I tell you, fellow citizens, this alliance of the underworld and their masters can never be broken until we, the people, take matters into our own hands. Like the vigilantes of old, we must rise in our wrath and drive these vampires out of our fair city.
Destroy these vampires.
A revolution is plot.
Unholy alliance of crime and politics. Oh, we have done well in these 10 days, eh, Mark Fenn?
Oh, I say we have, lady. $10 million. Nobody in the world ever collected money that fast.
It was good letting you join me.
I told you.
All the places where money is, you know.
But it's not money alone we want, Bellini.
Oh, I know. We have been just, how do you say it, testing our wings.
And now we're ready to go.
Yes. The new concentrate of my chemical is ready. Today we have taken the city, tomorrow the world.
The world.
But now, while the city we have left behind us boils in the madness we have brought to it, you and I, we will rest, eh, Fenn?
You laugh again.
Why?
I was thinking of the fun I had this morning.
Oh, you mean when we liquidated your enemies?
Dead. Every mother's son of them. Every one that ever laughed at
me. Yes, dead. Every one of them. And you go on to new triumphs.
They never knew what hit them. That's the only trouble with moving so fast, Bellini.
You mean when you struck them at 50 times the normal rate?
Yes, it was like hitting them with a 6-inch shell, skulls smashed in like empty eggs.
And you are disappointed because your revenge was over too quickly, eh, Mark Fenn?
Yes.
What if I were to tell you that my new concentrate, the one we will use tomorrow when we arrive at the seat of your government in Washington, what if I were to tell you that this new concentrate is infinitely more powerful than the one we have been using?
More powerful? Well, how can that be?
Listen, the one we have been using increases the physical and mental rate 20 times, is that not so?
Yes, talk, walk, run, and think 50 times faster.
So there you have it. With the new concentrate, talk, walk, think, and run an infinite number of times faster than normal.
You mean there's no limit?
No limit.
We'll move faster?
As fast as we like.
Say.
200, 300, 500, the limit will be our desires. A blur of light, here, there, the next place. Masters of men. Because compared to us, men are snails who crawl while we run.
Masters of men.
Look, I have brought the bottle. The new concentrate.
It looks the same.
Yes. Shall we try some, Mark Fenn?
I don't know.
We must try it sometime.
Yes.
It is the same basic formula as the other.
Sure.
I do not ask you to do what I will not do myself. We will take equal amounts and compare reactions.
How much will it?
Two drops each. I have two medicine droppers ready.
Yes.
The moment we swallow the drops, we will move toward the... You see that barn across the field?
Yes.
We meet there and see how fast we can move. Here are your drops, Mark Fenn.
I...
Surely you're not afraid, my friend.
Afraid? Me? Well, no, of course not. Give me those drops.
We drink together.
Yes. By the barn.
We did get here. Mark Fenn, your clothes.
My clothes? Well, I'm naked.
I too. Mark Fenn, listen. We moved so quickly through the air, our clothes were torn off.
Yeah.
The new concentrate, infinitely more powerful. We moved through the air at a tremendous rate. Hundreds of miles.
Bellini.
What?
Your lips, they're not moving, and yet I hear you.
Your lips, they do not move either, and yet I hear you, too.
That cannot be.
What is it, Bellini?
Our reactions. The concentrate has speeded them up so intensely, we read each other's thoughts. No, no, do not move.
Why not?
The concentrate, it was too powerful. We must lie quietly until its effects wear off.
Yes, but... Bellini.
Ben, why are you looking at me like that?
Your face.
My face?
Something's happening to it.
What? Speak up. What is wrong with my face? What? Your face. Creases in it. Lines.
And yours. That's what's happening to yours, Bellini. I feel, Bellini, what's happening? Tell me.
Age. That is it. Age.
Age?
Age.
What?
We are aging. We are aging.
Aging? What are you talking
the
about?
Concentrate. Our physical reactions, they have been speeded up too much.
Tell me, what's that got to do with...
Listen to me. The concentrate, it has speeded up our life processes to infinity. Every second is aging us a year. Every second.
No. No, I'm a young man, Bellini. You're lying. I'm not getting older. I'm not.
We are dying, my friend. Dying.
No, you lie, Bellini. I won't die. I won't.
Solution works on in his flesh. Decay. No, I cannot die. Master of men, I cannot die. Master of death.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 5th, 1943, a CBS broadcast. You're listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Coming up next, the Hall of Fantasy, the first broadcast in the series, which had a successful run on both CBS and Mutual Radio from 1947 through about mid-1954, producing 180 broadcasts that brought classics and new tales of horror to the air. Their maiden voyage brought forth the story, The Perfect Script, first heard on February 13, 1947.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Granite Furniture Company, with stores in Sugar House, Murray, and Provo, presents...
The Hall of Fantasy! Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of The Perfect Script.
The Granite Furniture Company brings you the Hall of Fantasy. Listen now to original tales of the imagination and some of the classics of the supernatural as we take you down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to the mysterious realms of the unknown. These are stories of eerie and fantastic thrills brought to you by your friends at the Granite Furniture Stores. Now for tonight's story, an original radio drama by Bob Olson entitled The Perfect Script.
It's inspiration, gentlemen. With a proper inspiration, anyone can write a perfect script. In this case, The inspiration is horror.
You have just listened to another in the series of dramas entitled The Perfect Script, a real-as-life story of horror produced by John Marchant. Be sure to listen again next week for another premiere of another Perfect Script.
Well, that wraps up another Perfect Script.
Yeah, a little too perfect if you ask me. Every time I work one of these shows, I want a police escort to see me home.
There's a Mr. Schenck to see you. Shall I send him in?
Schenck? Oh, the new writer. Yes, send him in, please. Schenck, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you made it. Have a seat.
Thank you, Mr. Marchant.
Did you decide to accept my terms?
Well, your shows are famous. Sounds like I'm starting at the top.
You are. You realize, of course, that this is a one-time shot.
Yeah, so I understand. No one ever writes two perfect scripts, but why?
Once you've written one, you'll know the answer to that.
It's a queer setup, but it's too good a chance to miss. When do I start?
Immediately. I'll drive you out there myself.
Out where?
In the coast, a few miles to my beach house. You will find it perfect for writing your type of script.
Sounds okay to me.
Fine. I'll order the car. Mr. Main, call the garage and tell them to have my car ready in 5 minutes. I'll be up at my beach house. I'm taking the new rider. Just call the garage. I won't be back today. Now, shall we go?
Sooner the better.
Trudy must have taken a walk. Trudy's the housekeeper. She spends a lot of time just walking on the beach. She had a terrible shock, poor girl, but she's harmless. Well, it looks as if we'll have to let ourselves in. Trudy! Trudy, are you here?
Here I am, Mr. Marchant.
I knocked. Where were you?
I was down. I was asleep.
Well, no matter. This is Mr. Schenck. He'll be with us for a little while. I thought you were taking one of your walks at first.
Tonight?
She's looking for her husband, Pete. He was a pilot and crashed in the sea close to here. Trudy thinks he'll show up.
Oh, he will. Don't you think he will, Mr. Schenck?
Well, that's enough, Trudy. Show Mr. Schenck to his room.
Same room the others have.
Of course. Now, hurry. Mr. Schenck probably wants to clean up a bit. He's going to start writing, so take some cold milk and sandwiches to him. Or would you rather have coffee?
Oh, milk would be fine.
Show him where to find the writing materials, too. He has a big night ahead of him.
I'm sorry to hear about your husband.
It was just a forced landing. He walked away from three others. He'll come back someday.
Yeah. Have you heard anything at all?
Oh, yes. He sent me his ring. That's the signal we had to let me know he was coming home.
How did he send it, Trudy?
The ocean brought it.
The ocean?
Yes, a little boy found it on the beach.
You mean a ring was washed up on the beach?
Some poor man was washed ashore. He had it on his hand. Probably a friend of Jack's. Many flyers were killed during the war, you know.
Yeah, I know. So, this flyer was washed ashore. Didn't they identify him?
No, he was in the sea too long.
Well, did you see the body?
They wouldn't let me. They said it was too horrible.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
This is your room, Mr. Schenck. They all used this room.
Who all used it?
All the writers of John, Mr. Marchant's scripts.
Well, it's a very nice room. Nice view of the ocean from here. I think I'll throw open this window and get some fresh air.
Here's the clean linen, typewriter and paper, and here's the pitcher of milk.
Ah, thanks. Yep, this is sure a fine place to do a bit of writing.
Mr. Schenck.
Yeah, Trudy?
I'm sorry you came here.
Really? Well, I'm sorry if you don't like me, Trudy.
I do like you. That's why I'm sorry you came.
Yeah, nice folks. Well, if I can't write a script here, I can't write it anywhere. What more can a man ask? A little more of that Trudy, and I wouldn't be able to write the date. Too bad, too. She's really not bad looking. Kind of pretty, in fact. Yeah, well, when a mind cracks, there's nothing much anyone can do about it. Now for the perfect script. Yeah, February 16th. That's a good start. The Perfect Script by Peter Schenck. Yep, you're on your way. A Marchant production is a very auspicious beginning. The first inkling I had of any plot was when the deluded housekeeper told me that she wished I hadn't come. What has happened to the writers of the other perfect scripts, I wonder? If I had any sense, I'd scram out of here.
Jack?
That's Trudy. She's running down the beach, looking for her dead husband. I think I'll just follow her and see what happens.
Jack?
Trudy?
Jack?
No. No, Trudy, it isn't Jack.
It isn't Jack.
Sorry, Trudy.
But he will come someday, won't he?
Yeah, he will. Yeah, let's sit down a bit. This running in the sand is very tiring.
Jack isn't dead, is he?
Certainly not in your thoughts, Trudy. Well, you watch the sea a lot, don't you?
I must watch the sea. I wouldn't want to miss
it. Yeah, I know. I spend a lot of time watching the sea myself. Mighty indifferent to sea. Well, Trudy, shall we start back? Jack won't come tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. Yeah, maybe the sea will give him to you tomorrow.
You think so? Do you think he'll come back tomorrow? Tell me he'll come back tomorrow. Johnny said he'd never come back. Johnny lied, didn't he?
Johnny? Who's Johnny?
He's...
Oh, here you are. Are you ready to get started on that script?
Well, Sean, where did you come from?
I say, shall we get started on that script?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've already started. Hey, what was that?
What was what?
I saw the shadow of a man diving behind that sand dune.
George.
Trudy, be quiet. Trudy always imagines she sees things at night. I think you're having the same trouble, Schenck. That was just the moon shifting a new shadow across the sand. There's nobody around here closer than 5 miles.
No, it was a man.
It was a shadow, Schenck. Nothing but a shadow.
Yeah, okay. Shadow. Mr. Marchand, I don't think Trudy was very happy to see me come out here.
Why do you say that?
Well, she told me she wished I hadn't come. What'd she mean by that?
Mean? How do I know what she meant? Trudy's always afraid someone's going to take her away from here before she finds her husband. Pay no attention to it.
There's George again. Oh, you're hurting me.
I think we'd better get back to that script, Schenck. Are you ready?
You know, on second thought, Mr. Marchand, maybe I can't cut it. Maybe I better try some other show at first till I get good enough for the perfect script show.
Nonsense. You'll never be any more ready than you are right now.
Yeah, I know, but...
The script, Mr. Schenck, will be perfect. And you'll write it. You are listening to The Perfect Script by Bob Olson in tonight's journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy. Presented by the Granite Furniture Company with stores in Sugar House, Murray, and Provo. Now back to tonight's story, entitled The Perfect Script.
Come in.
Now, for that script.
Yeah, better get started, huh?
I thought you told me you'd already started it.
Well, not perfect enough. I tore it up.
You shouldn't have done that. I wanted to see it. Maybe I could have offered you some suggestions.
No, it wasn't any good. Just a false start.
I see. By the way, I noticed you were taking in the view from your window.
Yeah, I was fascinated by the way the moonlight topped those white caps. Very pretty.
I should think you'd have gotten enough of watching the ocean in 29 months.
Just a habit, Mr. Marchand, just a habit.
Tell me, what else did you see?
See? Nothing.
You lie.
I do.
Never mind. It's of no consequence now. Let's get busy with that script.
Before we do, Mr. Marchand, I have a question to ask you.
Well, what is it?
Whatever happened to your other writers?
Why do you ask that?
Well, frankly, I'm thinking of my future.
Very practical, Schenck.
And what did happen to them?
I found a place for them.
A place? What sort of a place?
A very satisfactory place, Mr. Schenck.
And you intend to find such a place for me?
Indeed, I do. Fear not, my young friend. You shall have just such a place.
Marchand is gone. Cards are on the table. Yeah, he's even bolted the doors. For some strange reason, I can't budge the windows or even smash the panes. I know he plans to kill me. To produce such a horror in this room that he'll have the actual passionate record of a terrified and dying man. Yeah, but just how he intends to bring it about, I don't quite know. I've just poured myself a glass of cold milk. Yeah, but this I do know. This script is written by Peter Schenck, a very mediocre writer, but one with enough talent to find an enthusiastic audience in the Los Angeles Police Department.
Now, Mr. Schenck, you will begin your script in earnest.
And you seem to be collaborating in earnest. What's that in your hand, an Army 45?
I am not a ballistics expert, Mr. Schenck. I must confess my ignorance. All I know about this weapon is that it's very deadly.
Yeah, it's an Army 45. Very deadly piece of merchandise.
You find something amusing?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Mr. Marchand, what a dirty trick it'd be if I should let you kill me and make you write your own perfect script.
Oh, I don't intend to kill you, Mr. Schenck.
You don't? Then why the gun?
This gun will keep you here until I'm through with you.
I've no fear of anything I can live through, Mr. Marchand.
Death is sometimes preferable. I have enough skill with this Army 45, as you call it, to make any movement on your part an extremely painful one. From there on, I have someone who might inspire the fear you spoke of.
You mean our shifting shadow, George?
Exactly. George has a cozy little apartment below ground. I hope he doesn't disturb you.
Oh, so George is the inspiration for the horror you spoke of.
Mm-hmm. George is very helpful.
You know, Marchand, you strike me as being rather stupid.
I'm sorry you think so.
Yeah. You want a script written, a perfect script. You engage me to write that script in the face of a torture and death from which you give me no chance to escape. You know, you ought to put a bonus on this thing. Give me a little incentive.
That will not be necessary. I'm quite certain that in approximately 5 minutes you'll need no incentive.
5 minutes? What's that got to do with it?
You were observed pouring and drinking a glass of milk a few minutes ago. True.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Wait, you mean that you...
Poison? No, Mr. Schenck. Just a little potion to deaden the willpower. In exactly four and a half minutes, you will act only on the power of suggestion. Does that strike you as stupid, Mr. Schenck?
You're lying.
Wait and see, or have you something better to do?
I have, you filthy maniac. Why, in 2 minutes, I could kill you. Yes, and by heaven, I intend...
Stand back! You wouldn't get 2 feet. This is no cap gun. Go ahead. As long as you're alive, you have a chance. Go ahead, commit suicide. See how much good it does.
Hey, you're lying, I tell you. Besides, I didn't have any of that milk.
Now, Schenck, you know differently. Just relax. This isn't so bad. You'll even get a thrill out of it. Believe me, don't fight it. You only hurt yourself when you do.
I hope you... You're the craziest of the lot, Marchand. Your sister at least has some trace of feeling. You're just plain mad.
My sister. Who mentioned it to you?
Trudy did, Marchand. Or Johnny, if you prefer.
You are more shrewd than I thought.
Yeah, you're just careless. You depend too much on the discretion of the insane. They prattle without thinking, Marchand.
It doesn't matter. Think me insane if you like. Maybe I am. You'd be too if you had to hide someone like George from the world. But it doesn't matter. As for Trudy, she's mad from heartbreak and shock. She could have been saved if...
Yeah, if you'd let her. Yeah, but it serves your plans better if she isn't too bright.
She's bright enough. She likes milk, too.
You don't mean to tell me that you deliberately keep her dope.
Oh, she's insane, all right. But every once in a while, I can't depend on it.
You hold a person's life at little value, don't you?
She's the only one who can handle George. She wouldn't do it of her own free will, so I just help her to make up her mind. But your time is up, Mr. Schenck. How do you feel? Your eyes are quite glassy. Soon you won't even be able to talk. Very effective. Very effective.
Yeah, very effective.
And now, Mr. Schenck,
Shall we start the script?
The script? Oh, yeah. The perfect script. Write it yourself, Marchand.
And the typewriter, Mr. Schenck. You're just about to write the finest script radio ever knew.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I want to write, but what'll I write about?
Write just what you see. Explain it in detail. Everything you see and everything you think.
Yeah, but I don't see anything.
Don't you, Mr. Schenck? Then turn around.
Trudy.
And George, Mr. Schenck. George is going to help us with this script. He's quite talented.
What's he going to do?
A beautiful job of murder. Trudy, come with me.
Where are you going?
We won't be far away. George doesn't like to have anyone in the family around to watch him. Do you, George?
Bad blood. Bad blood.
Write it down, Mr. Schenck. There's plenty of time. Be sure to get it all. Here, you might like some fresh air. I'll throw open this window. Special glass, you know. Strong as steel. But you won't need it now. You won't try to escape.
Yeah, I'm in the room with this monster. Marchand did open the window. Easy escape, yet I can't move. I can't leave this chair. I can't even cry out. Write it down. Write it all down. How my brain works like a trip hammer and my body does the bidding of a madman. It can't be happening. This is like a dream where you want to run and your legs won't move. George is just staring at me and muttering about bad blood. Yeah, he's staring with those wild eyes as if he were waiting for a signal. Now he sees it. It's Trudy at the window, holding a knife with a blade that looks razor sharp. It's meant for me. I have no will for anything but to stay here and write this cursed script. Yeah, of course it's perfect. Why shouldn't it be? It's a diary of a monstrous murder. I'll never get out of this chair. Will I experience pain? I don't know. The script couldn't be perfect if I didn't. I hope I do. I want to experience something. Something that hasn't been willed on me by that insane Marchand. Trudy is handing the knife to George. Now she's pointing to me. George turns and faces me. He's walking toward me. Oh, why can't I do something to protect myself?
Bad blood. George have bad blood. Everybody says George have bad blood. George need good blood. Then he be fine. No more bad blood.
Trudy's climbing in the window. There are tears in her eyes. She's watching George. Trudy feels just as I do. Her mind's working, but can't do anything about it. I don't know what it is that Marchand's given us, but it's really hypnotic.
George, get good blood now. George need good blood. George need lots of good blood. Then he all right. Then George like everybody else and walk in the sunshine and swim in the ocean just like everybody. And people say to George, "Hello, George. How are you today?" And George say, "My blood very good today." George get good blood now.
Trudy's standing there. She's trying to say something to George. Tears are streaming down her cheeks. Trudy doesn't want me to die. I gave her false hope. She'd find her husband. And now Trudy knows that if I die, that hope dies too. Oh, if Trudy only had the will to... what irony. The only person in this room with any power over his body is George. And he has no mind with which to control it. There's Marchand at the window. He looks horrified. Something going wrong with his plan?
Trudy! Trudy, get out of there! You know what George is when any of us watch him? Get out of there before it's too late!
George heard Marchand. He's turning around. He sees Trudy watching him. He sees the tears. Face lights up with anger. He grabs Trudy by the wrist, slashes at her with a knife. Oh,
please, please give me the strength to move. Give me the power to get out of this chair. Marchand's standing there. No, he's leaping through the window. I think he's going to try to fight with George. He's rushing at the monster. George brushes him off. As he does, the sharp blade of the knife opens a deep wound in the side of Marchand's neck.
Ow!
Judy's lying on the floor. She doesn't stir. Marchand falls and lays quite still. A pool of blood forms quickly from the gushing wound. Sight of the blood excites George. He kneels over Marchand. I can't write it. It's too horrible. I've never seen a more grotesque sight in my life. I'm going to be sick. Now George is getting up. He's actually smiling. He sees Trudy on the floor and he stoops to pick her up in his powerful arms. Strokes her hair just as he did on the beach. His hands leave rich red stains on her face and hair. Now he's setting Trudy down tenderly. He turns towards me.
Now George got good blood. George got Johnny blood. Johnny blood, good blood. Now George like everybody else. George blood very good today.
I tried to say something, but didn't have the power. Perhaps that's what saved my life this time. George had forgotten about me in his exhilaration over getting Marchand's good blood. Yeah, Trudy's dead. No doubt about that. Knife had slashed her from just above the ear to the corner of her mouth. Trudy's dead. You know, I can't help but think that now she'd find Jack at last. C isn't so indifferent after all. Oh, this night is interminable. The script soon will be finished. But Marchand will never produce it. Yeah. I had written it well. Couldn't help myself. Had to do it. Be Marchand's final triumph. The worst of all is the quiet description of this room after George had gone, telling about the two bodies. They're going cold. My great fear is that George will come back before this potion wears off. I sat staring at the window, now letting in a chill breeze. I just about convinced myself that George wouldn't be back when... There he was! The thing I feared was happening. George did remember at last. But Trudy had told him to kill me. And I am still powerless to help myself. This was the story that Marchand had designed for the script. Now he's about to get it. Get it too late to bring him any more of his precious fame.
George do bad thing. George forget, Trudy. George forget. George do bad thing.
Once more, I tried to move but couldn't. All I can do is write. I'd at least leave a record, this thing, so that all the world would know what a half hour of a perfect script had cost the lives of so many people. George is standing over me now. He's raising his arm. The knife blade catches a glint of light, and my eyes are blinded momentarily by the brilliance. George shifts his weight a little to plunge the knife. He pauses and... You know, suddenly, for no reason at all, I think of a road. A road that I walked along in Arizona just a week ago. Free, happy, glad to be alive. And then...
The tale of The Perfect Script. But remember to join us next week at the same time for another journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear the tale of The Cask of Amontillado. Tonight's program was an original radio drama by Bob Olson entitled The Perfect Script. Heard in tonight's program were Richard Thorne as Marchand, Carl Grayson as Schenck, Beth Calder as Trudy, and Nelson Hall as George. Musical background was provided by Earl Donaldson. The technical supervisor was Nephi Sorensen. These programs are produced and directed by Richard Thorne. Remember, be with us again next Sunday night on call at 8:30 p.m. when the Granite Furniture Stores in Sugar House, Murray, and Provo will take you on another journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear the tale of The Cask of Amontillado.
The Hall of Fantasy, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 13th of February, 1947, on CBS radio affiliate KALL. And that wraps up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening. Thank you.